Sir Francis Bacon coined the phrase, knowledge is power. And I want to talk about that this morning. It's self-evident from the gospel itself, as Paul says, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And it's self-evident in our world today. Jalen, a five-year-old boy, just the other day saved his mother who was having an epileptic seizure by calling 911. And having knowledge, simply to make a telephone call and to know the phone number, to know what to do, he saved his mother's life. Probably without that knowledge, she would have died. With knowledge, we have the power to save lives. And we're going to make the point this morning, with knowledge of God's Word, we have the power to save our lives for eternity and others in whom we have contact. Knowledge is power. As we've already read in our scripture reading this morning, this is what God wants. You know, someone may ask the question, what does God want from me? The simple answer is, God wants you to know His Word. And in knowing it, He wants you to conform your life to it. In Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6, God says, "For I delight in loyalty rather than sacrifice, and in the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." We could be here this morning and be going through all these things that we do. And if we did not have God's knowledge, knowledge of His will, to be doing these things because it's what He says in His Word, He would not be pleased with us. In Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." What is the source of this knowledge whereby we are empowered and strengthened as Christians? It is the Word of God. Jesus, as He is praying in John chapter 17 and verse 17, "Your Word is truth." And so our job as God's creation, it is to go to His Word, to read it, to know it, to understand it, and to apply it to our lives. Therein we have the power which God gives to us. First of all, we must have the right attitude to do this. Now, if you would get your Bibles out and turn with me to three scriptures in Proverbs. The first one is Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. And there God says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." We learn, first of all, that we must have the right attitude before we can go to the Word of God and to obtain this knowledge that we're talking about in the lesson today. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men." And so he was motivated by knowing the fear of God. And we as individuals, as we have reverence and respect and awe for God, we are moved to go to His Word and to learn about Him. You do this as you prepare for your Bible classes. I trust that each person here prepared for the Bible class this morning. I trust that you took your Bibles and you took your books and you looked at the verses and you thought about the things that you were going to be studying today. And you did this because you respect God. Young folks, more than respecting your parents, and your parents want you to do these things, you do it because you respect God and you fear God. And that you know one day you will stand before Him in judgment, being judged by the things that are contained within that book, John 12 and verse 48. Turn your Bibles, or well, stay in this chapter, to verse 29. Here we read about the naive and scoffers and fools. I want you to look about them. "Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof." And I want you to notice this morning that we must choose to fear God. And each one of us asks ourselves, Do I fear God? Have I chosen to fear God? Have I chosen to respect God over men and over this world? Have I made this choice? And having made that choice, then I choose to go to the Word of God and to learn about God so that I may do what is pleasing in His sight. Turn your Bibles with me over to chapter 23. And here Solomon gives us an illustration of this. And in Proverbs 23, verse 23, he says, "Buy truth and do not sell it." And here is the illustration of buying the truth. Jesus tells a parable of one who was seeking a great treasure. And there was a pearl of great price, and he found this one pearl, and he took all that he had, and he bought this one valuable possession. And that's the way we must consider the Word of God. It is the most precious, valuable in our lives. And we are willing to do whatever is necessary to buy it, to possess it, to learn it, to apply it to our lives. And he says, sell it not. In other words, never give it up for anything. Never exchange it for everything. Make it the most important thing in your life, because with it, you know who God is. You know what God wants you to do. You're strengthened as a Christian to do those things, and you're pleasing in His sight. Turn your Bibles with me now to the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the Apostle Paul puts it a little bit differently. And he tells us something vitally important that we must understand in living in this world. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And beginning in verse 10. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the deception of the evil one. And that God allows these lies and these deceptions to permeate and to exist within our world for a specific reason. Now look at verse 10. Speaking of this evil one. "And with all deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved." Now I want you to notice that we must love the truth or we are lost. Love here is agape. It is not the affectionate feelings that we have toward another or toward something. It is the commitment we make toward something. It is the commitment we have toward our enemies to do good toward them. And so we have this commitment that we make for the truth, for the Word of God, that we will do anything, no matter what the cost may be, to live according to the truth. Now look at verse 11. "For this reason God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness." And so there are two categories of people within the world. Those who love the truth and are willing to do whatever is necessary to obey it, and those who take pleasure in sinful things, and they do not love the truth, henceforth they hate the truth. Now let me give you an illustration. Polycarp was a second century philosopher. History tells us he was converted by the Apostle John. And at the end of his life, he was called into the Colosseum. And he was going to be burned at the stake, and he only had to do one simple thing to avoid such a horrifying, painful, detestable death, and he would escape it all, and that is to curse and deny Christ. Curse and deny Christ. Simply to say that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God, and he was freed. He could go home. He could go back to his family. He could go back to the congregation where he was an elder, and he could live a good long life. But he refused to do that. And there was a giant big riot as people left the Colosseum. They were gathering wood to bring in and to tie him to a cross and to burn him alive. And he said, "You don't have to tie me. I will stand here." Jesus Christ has not forsaken me one time throughout all of my life, and He's not going to forsake me today. Rather than cursing Christ, he confessed Christ. He loved the truth. He did not exchange the truth. He did not sell the truth. And that's what we do today. Our job is to guard ourselves, to keep the proper attitude, and to teach our children the proper attitude to love the truth, to love the Bible, to love to study the Bible and to learn it, to fear God, to buy the truth and never sell it. That is our job. Knowledge is necessary to be saved. Turn your Bibles with me over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Knowledge is necessary to obey the gospel as we enter into Christ. And knowledge is necessary to remain faithful throughout all of our life. And then to go to heaven for eternity. In John chapter 8 and beginning in verse 31, Jesus says this, the middle of the verse. If you continue in my word, and I want you to notice the word continue. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Make you free from what? Make you free from sin. To make you free from the bondage of sin. To make you free from eternal damnation. The truth does this. It is necessary for us to know the truth and to obey the truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, by which we purify our souls. The Word of God is truth, John 17 and verse 17. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. It is by the truth that we escape the defilements of the flesh and of this world. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20. For if after they escape the defilements of the world by the knowledge of the Lord. Now I want you to notice here. We are not going to escape these defilements. Even as Christians today, those who are saved, if we do not concentrate upon this word, if we are not growing in the word of God, at some point we will exchange it. We will sell it. And we will not escape the defilements of the flesh, but rather we will be caught up in those defilements. It is our responsibility to know the truth, to conform our lives to it, and to live by it. The minute we put these Bibles down, the minute we never pick them up in our homes, the time when we come to Bible class and we're not prepared and we're not ready and we've not studied the lessons. The time when we do not pay attention to the sermons if you're able to turn to the Word of God and we just sit here and we're half asleep and we don't pay attention and we're not reading and studying the Word of God on our own for ourselves but just believe what somebody says, then that is the time we'll be caught up in the defilements of the world. God said to those in the Old Testament, His people, that they were destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Now they were saved and everything was great at various times throughout their history. But we learn from the Old Testament that the moment God's people set aside His word, that is the beginning of the end. In Romans chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Paul here speaking of the very same thing, of the Jews. And here his prayer was for them that they were saved. And he says that their zeal for God was not according with knowledge. And he says, for not knowing about God's righteousness, then what? And seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. And do we not see that in the world today? Not that we're picking on everyone else, but we're using this to examine ourselves. What has happened throughout the world? They've put the Word of God down. It is so sad to see people go to church today in so many places and no one is carrying a Bible. And because of that, they do not know the Word of God. Therefore, they are trying to be righteous toward God in things which they are making up for themselves, and they are utterly failing. Well, brethren, the same thing can happen to us. The exact same thing can happen to us. This impresses upon us the importance of knowing the Word of God. Just recently, a young lady, 20 years old, Andrea Bennett, lives in the UK. She was pregnant, and her baby died before it was born. She suffered from a condition called preeclampsia, and she knew nothing about this condition. She didn't know that it existed. She did not know what the symptoms were. Her doctor never told her about it. The nurses never told her about it. And her baby died. Her baby could easily have lived if she simply would have known about this life-taking condition. And now she is trying her best to educate other women. She did not know, but her baby still died. There are many in the world today who do not know the Word of God, but they're still lost in sin, and unless they come to a knowledge of the Word of God, they're going to die in their sins, or they're going to be lost for eternity. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "There's many who are going to come to me. Did we not prophesy in your name and do miracles in your name and cast out demons in your name?" And Jesus is going to say, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you who practice iniquity." They did not know. And what that's telling me today, there's going to be many at judgment standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and they're going to say, "I did not know." And they're still going to go to hell. Just as this young lady, Andrea Bennett, did not know, and her child still died. Not knowing is not an excuse. Our responsibility is to hear, learn, understand, and know God's Word. Turn your Bibles with me over to Colossians chapter 1. This is our responsibility. And I'm sure all of us this morning are asking ourselves, are we living up to this responsibility as we should? Verse 5, Colossians 1 verse 5. Here Paul is talking about the Colossians. He says, "Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel." And that's our responsibility. We must hear it. And for all of us, we are blessed to have Bibles in our homes. We must get these Bibles out. We must open them up, and we must see what it has to say. That's our responsibility. And if we don't, we're going to be ignorant. And if we're ignorant, we're going to be lost. Not knowing is not an excuse. Well, what else does it say about it? Verse 6. "Which has come to you just as in all the world also it is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, just as it has been doing to you also since the day you heard of it and understood." We must understand. In other words, Bible reading is a wonderful thing. It is a good thing. It is a commendable thing. But we can't just read the Bible and think that we've done what we ought to do. We must come to an understanding of it. Go on, verse 7. "Just as you learned it." And we know what it means to learn, don't we? Us who are older, we've been to school. We know what it is to learn. It's hard work. It's difficult. We have to work very hard at it. Those of you who are in school now, you're reminded right now. You do it all the time. You have to go to school. You have to listen to what the teacher says. You have to do exercises. You have to memorize. You have all sorts of things you have to do to learn. And brethren, we have to do that same thing, so that we learn and therefore we know. Look at verse 9. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And that is the result, to be filled with the knowledge of God. Our last point this morning is that through this knowledge, we grow spiritually and we are strengthened by God. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9, Paul tells us that love abounds more and more in real knowledge. And for those of us in our Wednesday night class out here in the auditorium, the word for knowledge here is epigenosis. It is top knowledge. It is the knowledge one has, just not the book smarts, but taking the things said in the book and we apply them to our lives, and that brings us to a maturity, and that's called knowledge, true knowledge sometimes translated. A real knowledge sometimes translated. Epigenosis, top knowledge. And also, in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, now here is knowledge, that is gnosis, that's just book smarts. And if we have just book smarts, without going beyond that, applying it to our lives to grow spiritually, it says knowledge is arrogant, but love edifies. And so, we grow as we take our book smarts, we apply it to our lives, and we'll talk about just a little bit more in a few minutes how all of this works together, and then we grow stronger in the Lord. Turn your Bibles with me over to 2 Peter chapter 3. Be turning over to 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll talk there in just a moment. As you turn over there, remember in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 that we are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, once again, not to get too technical, the word for knowledge in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 is epigenosis. And we spoke about on Wednesday the blessings we receive as we go to the Word of God, we apply it to our lives, and we grow. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Now that's what we're talking about. This knowledge, just not the book smarts, but when we take it, we apply it to our lives, we're growing in the Lord, being diligent to do that, then we have grace and peace, and that is multiplied to us in our lives. You want to be happy? Go to the Word of God and live that way, and you'll be happy. Verse 3. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Now, divine power. This is God working in our lives. As we go to His Word, we study it, we apply it to our lives. His divine power, we'll speak of that in just a few more minutes, is working in our lives, verse 3, through the true knowledge, epigenosis, of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Now, verse 4. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. How is this done? Let me summarize. Let me boil it down. Go to the Bible, learn what it says, apply it to your life. That's what we do. Look down, verses 5 through 8. We won't take time to go over this in any detail. We went over it in our class Wednesday and our Bible drill. The children went through it in great detail. These are the components that we, verse 5, are being diligent to apply to our lives. Faith, virtue, or moral excellence. Knowledge. Now this is the gnosis, book smarts. This is going to the Word of God, understanding what it says, applying it to our lives then with these other things. Self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now, look at verses 8 through 11. Look at the result of doing this in our lives. Verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing. Now, what this tells us is this is not a one-time event. We can't go to the Word of God and read through it and study it a little bit and say, okay, I've done that, and move on from there. We do this continually all of our life. These things must be increasing. If so, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge, epigenosis. What is that? Go to the Bible, learn it, apply it to your lives, conform to it. Epigenosis, true knowledge. Now go to verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about His calling and choosing you. You want to be sure you're going to heaven? do what he's talking about right here. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. In other words, you're not going to just squeak into heaven. You're not just going to barely get through there. God, we'll talk about it in a moment, is going to strengthen you and is going to build you up so that you are strong. Strong as a Christian to do the things you need to do and overcome the things that must be overcome now. Colossians chapter 1, please go back there. And we already talked about verses 5 through 9. But I want us to look at just one more thing there in that verse. And I want us to see this results of being strengthened by God. And all of us want strength. All of us have trials and difficulties. We're all needing more strength all of the time to be growing in the Lord. Verse 9. Remember what we talked about before, leading up to this. Verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Verse 10. So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Get that. The way that you live is pleasing to God in every respect, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in knowledge. Now look at verse 11. New American Standard. Strengthened with all power. God gives us the strength to do whatever is necessary, to do whatever we need to do according to His will, to deal with any trial, to deal with any tribulation. It doesn't matter what it is. We have the confidence as Christians that God is going to strengthen, or may I use this word, to empower us as His children to overcome the world, to overcome sin, and to be fruitful in every regard, no exception. In other words, His Word is performing its work in us who believe. His Word is performing its work in us who believe. Knowledge is power. Our job is to be diligent in the study of God's Word, to learn His Word so that we know His Word and honestly and sincerely apply it to our lives. That is our job. God, therefore, will bless us with spiritual growth and strength as His Word performs its work in us who believe. I'm sure you are like me in examining yourself this morning. And I suppose all of us, I know certainly for myself, that I can do a better job learning, applying the Word of God. And the encouragement for all of us today is to do that. Will you do that? Will you do that? I trust that you will. We're going to sing number 301, Song of Encouragement. If you're not a Christian, your Savior is still waiting. Your Savior will receive you. If you know what you need to do, then I beg you to do it. Simply believing in God, believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, and then being baptized into Christ. If you know what to do, I beg you to do it. Remember, not knowing is not an excuse. If we can help you at all this morning, won't you come to the front now as we stand and sing?